And welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. We're talking in this episode, we will be talking about the fact that MS isn't worth the wait. And of course, being the word nerd that I am, we're using different spelling for weight.
Correct.
W-E-I-G-H-T. In terms of talking about the need to maintain a healthy weight when living with multiple sclerosis and just the trials and tribulations of what we've been facing in the last, I want to say 50 years and 48, you know, but I mean, within the last probably 6 months of when we kept saying, okay, but now we'll really do it. Now we're going to get serious. And it's just like, we're serious. And on many levels, it doesn't have anything to do with the new year. It's everything else.
Well, as people may have heard us talk before, you turned 50 in September. And you turning 50 really inspired me, or it freaked the crap out of me. Like, yikes, I'm going to be 50 in less than 2 years. And
what?
I know.
Wow.
And what am I going to do about it? And so I've had a lifelong battle with my weight. I am heavy, and being in a wheelchair and being heavy, those two things just don't go together. So I took the inspiration and I thought, I would like to lose 50 before I turn 50. And that is a huge goal. It's a big number. But 2 years and losing 50 pounds seemed manageable.
Let me cut you off, because that, I mean, we're together all the time. And since I turned 50, honestly, I did not know of this goal of yours. Deep down in that noodle of yours.
Well, I think that to say it out loud makes it really, really real. And to lose 50 pounds is very intimidating, or you say it out loud and it's real. And so I didn't say it to you. So we could be bad at the holidays. And we were bad food-wise and overindulging and eating all the goodies.
Well, and I think then it's just like, you want to get a pizza. Should we get a pizza? And I think that's where it is a lot easier when you don't feel like cooking, when you don't feel like doing much anything other than eat, and you want to have something that's very easy to eat. Hello, Mr. Pizza.
Hello, Mr. Pizza. And if I had a tick mark for every time we, quote, got the evils out, which gave us a green light to eat all the crap in our refrigerator. Oh, this will be the last time.
This will be the last day. Let's get rid of the evils.
Let's get rid of the evils. Let's order pizza. This is the last time we're getting pizza.
Yes.
And so we kept giving ourselves the latitude to participate in bad behavior.
Because you can't really start on a Thursday. Let's start, okay, Monday.
Monday morning.
Sunday will clean everything out and we'll be so good.
And I'm sure there are people listening, shaking their heads, saying, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. So when Dan turned 50, I said 50 before I turned 50, but I didn't do anything about it. And then I ordered a scale because I'm in a wheelchair and it's not like I have the ability to stand on a little tiny box scale. So I got a wheelchair scale. And forgive me if you've heard this before, but a wheelchair scale is big. I will probably take a picture and put it on our notes, our show notes. But it's a big scale that I can stand on and Dan can stand on. So Dan will get on the scale first and weigh his weight. And then he will help me get out of my wheelchair, stand up, and we'll weigh the two of us and subtract his weight to figure out my weight. So I made the effort and spent our money to get a wheelchair scale so that I can do that. My power chair is too large. Isn't that ironic? My power chair is too big to fit on the wheelchair scale, but if Dan and I do that method, I can figure out how much I weigh. And so I did that, but I still didn't take my weight loss seriously.
And it was. I mean, it sat there in the dining room because it was a nice little piece of furniture, unique, because not everybody has a big ass scale in their dining room. But it is, and it serves the purpose. And we tested it out, got it out of the box, and just seeing that it worked well, because I had just been to the doctor, so I knew really how much I weighed. And I says, well, that's pretty much spot on. But when you're getting out the evils every weekend because you're going to start, it didn't really do any good to weigh, because you knew I'm still chubby. So,
well, and never mind the fact that we went for years to a weight loss program where they had a handicap accessible scale. And while I didn't follow the program there, I paid money, so why didn't I lose weight? But anywho, that's another story. But I went, and so I managed. I kept track of my weight, and it didn't fluctuate wildly, and I didn't gain a lot of weight. But I didn't want to continue paying money to go and see my friends and not lose weight. I needed to get serious. And then I needed to celebrate the holidays and get the evils out of our house, all the candy and chocolate. So,
yeah. So what triggered it now? I mean, because you've had the scale. I mean, and it's been months since I turned 50.
So
we had the scale, and then I was with you in your little party of getting out the evils and stuff. So I didn't like push the using of said scale because I wanted to have pizza and all that other stuff. So now here we are sitting here on, you know, the middle of January. What clicked? And I think this is what we, I know this is why we're talking about this, in terms of why do we have to wait until the big things are happening to take things seriously.
Well, we had New Year's resolutions, which Dan and I are not huge fans of, but they do give you a little purpose or a little goal to work on. So I thought about watching my weight, but then even more, I got an email at the beginning of January from some fashion students here at Central Michigan University, which is the university close to Dan and our house and our hearts. And they were offering to design an outfit for me for these fashion students. And I will get to participate in a fashion show. Yes, Q, what is it? Right, Zed Fred here. I'm a model. And so I'm going to do my little turn on the catwalk in my wheelchair so that people can see that people with disabilities still deserve to have high fashion. So that there kind of lit a fire under my butt that, forgive me, my big butt, that I needed to kind of make an effort to lose a little weight before I meet these students that are going to design an outfit. So that Threads, that's the name of the program, that Threads fashion show really inspired me.
Well, I mean, because you are going to be, I mean, you're going to be turning on the catwalk and everything, but I mean, you will have students measuring you and taking measurements, adjusting clothes. I mean, basically sizing, making an outfit specifically for you. I mean, is this just putting more pressure on you, and your heart's beating?
Yes, like, my heart is beating faster, and they're going to be measuring me, and they're college kids. They're not kids. They're college students who deserve I need to meet them and try as hard as I can just to be, I don't want to lose weight in the midst of their designing an outfit. So I would like to let them know that is something I'm trying to do. And I want to look nice. I mean, let's be honest, I am vain, if you can call wanting to look nice vanity. But I want to look nice, and I think that you asked the question very well. Why do we have to wait until something like this makes us realize how important our health is? And that weight loss, my weight loss, will help you when it comes to transfers. It'll help me sleep better. It will give me more energy, and it will just help my overall wellness. So that Threads fashion show really inspired me to do it. But then, bonus, Dan, you got an email, what, a week ago?
It was about a week and a half ago that we were invited to attend the upcoming, the 2023 Public Policy Conference for the National MS Society, which we had done for several years. But then the last time we've ever flown was back in 2020 in March, when we were there for the PPC with the National MS Society in early March. And as we were flying back from that event, that's right about when the pandemic was coming on, and then it just shut everything down. And then for the last 2 years, the Public Policy Conference has all been virtual. And so this will be the first time that we will be in person in Washington, D.C. Since 2020. And that's a big deal. And that, you know, that opens the door to so many other things. This is not just you weighing on a scale. This isn't you being a model. And this is something where you are going to have to be up close and personal with absolute strangers at the airport, where you need to have people, and I'm not talking directly to you, Jennifer, but I mean talking to everybody out there in listener land. I mean, when we travel and do that, Jennifer can't stand on her own. And so, see, now I'm talking about you like you're not even here.
That's okay. I appreciate it. You're doing a good job.
Why, thank you. Well, you see, you're my welcome. Wife, Jennifer, she can't stand on her own. This is why I need to help her weigh on the scale we have. But then also, when we fly, we need airline attendants to lift Jennifer out of her wheelchair, put her in an aisle chair, a very, 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 very skinny aisle chair that really I would have a hard time sitting on because it's so small. But then they have to like strap her on this aisle chair, wheel her into the airplane, and then lift her and put her in the seat. And then we fly. And keep in mind, then the whole time we're flying, that we're taxiing, doing blah, 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 Jennifer can't get up and go to the restroom. So we have to really make sure everything is taken care of before we even load the plane. And then once we get to said location, a new crew comes with an aisle chair, lifts her, puts her in that, wheels her out, waiting for her wheelchair, hoping and praying to God that her wheelchair makes it from point A to point B in one place or in one piece, and then transfer her back into her wheelchair. And then, I mean, so these are things then where you've got people that are lifting her, to which then that makes it that much more real that you, it's almost like you need to meet them halfway and do what you can to shed some pounds, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. And my blood pressure, if I can be dramatic, my blood is pounding and I'm a little nervous. We talked about Threads and modeling, which is a little outside of my comfort. But then it's the fact that we're flying and I am going to have to be transferred again. And that's uncomfortable. Anyway you say it, that's just uncomfortable to have to be picked up by strangers and put in an airplane seat. I appreciate that the airline does this for me and that I will be hopefully comfortable and that I'll be able to go to Washington, D.C. My goodness, that's a small price to pay to get to see friends I haven't seen since the COVID pandemic started. That you and I, we get to connect with our friends and we'll be able to advocate on Capitol Hill and meet with legislators from the state of Michigan. So it's important and it's fun, but it is nerve-wracking, that weight piece. And hopefully, you know, with me starting a new weight loss program and recommitting to my goal of losing weight before my 50th birthday, that this will be the time. I've done it before. Of course, I kind of survived a pandemic with the help of some not so healthy food products. But I would like to just get in the game of trying to realize that healthy foods like apples, that they are just as delicious, or they're good for me, and I need to treat my body better, and I need to lose some weight to help you, because you're 50 years old and you don't have any business having to transfer me when I could lose, you know, can you imagine if I could lose 25 pounds? That would be huge.
That would be huge. Well, and I think that, you know, when we're talking about weight loss and taking care of ourselves, and like, why do we have to wait until like the big events to happen, like a Threads fashion show or public policy conference, your husband turning 50? That's human nature. You think about it. I mean, how many women insist, oh, I have to lose weight before my wedding. I'm getting fitted for a dress. I'm going to be up front in front of all my friends and family. I have to lose weight. Or just, and even men, you know, losing weight before your wedding. Well, that's a big event. But then what about things like, here, I've got a class reunion 25 years since my whatever. And so you're always wanting to lose weight. So my question then is, should we, as people living with multiple sclerosis, not put a greater emphasis on maintaining a healthy weight, just because, I mean, people in general should do it, but are those of us with multiple sclerosis, is that a more urgent need?
I think personally, MS is a hard disease to live with, and it's hard to manage. And being in a wheelchair, for me, not to use that as a cop out, it's just hard to deal with MS, and food is comfort, and it's a coping mechanism. And that's something that, since I started refocusing, I realized I need to cope with the crap that's associated with multiple sclerosis, the not walking, the spasticity, the discomfort from sitting in a wheelchair all day. I need to cope with that through healthier coping techniques than just shoving food down my throat to make me feel better. And so I don't want to just act like I'm alone in this. You too, Dan. I know you were not pleased when you stepped on that scale to help me. And so I think people with multiple sclerosis, especially surviving or getting through the pandemic, it's easy when you don't see anyone to just sit and like comfort yourself with food. But then as we reemerge, kind of like in the spring, as we're getting out more, we have to take a hard look at ourselves and say, okay, we have to do better. And like I said, for you, Dan, I know you aren't happy. So what does this mean to you?
I was going to say that this is something where, as we're talking, it's like, oh, you and all of your stuff. But it's like me as a caregiver, me as somebody, I mean, I'm the one who's over 50 years old now. And it's just like you talk about then like things that, you know, over time and gaining weight and doing things. And I've always had the problem that when I used to run, I could eat as much and anything and everything I wanted because I was burning so many calories. My metabolism was so high. Downside is since I've stopped running several years ago, I'm still eating as much and anything I want. And then it's just like, but is that healthy? And then you realize when you step on the scale, I mean, granted, I didn't gain a ton, but then you have a smaller frame. And so all of a sudden, 10 pounds, how easily and quickly that can come on. And then it is the reality that I'm over 50. I need to maintain that. And there's research, and this is something where it goes beyond just for the quote unquote average person, but just for people living with MS, there's research that shows how important maintaining a healthy weight is for people living with MS. And we will have links to a couple of the articles that we found in the liner notes for this. But I think that this is just something where we're not in this together, and that I, as your caregiver and as someone who lives with MS, I mean, really, it's like my need to maintain a healthy weight and stay healthy that way is twofold, really.
And we are in this together. As much as I need to lose weight and as much as you need to lose weight, we can lean on each other for support, for encouragement. There's a component of exercise that has to happen. More sleep, better choices. And it's going to be, you know, we support each other with our multiple sclerosis. We have to support ourselves and each other with our efforts to lose weight. And I really feel that, you know, we always talk about there's nearly a million Americans living with multiple sclerosis. I don't know what the numbers are, but I know that heaviness, that's a problem in the United States. You know, it's relatable that a lot of us are carrying around more weight than we want. And even if I lost 25 pounds or if I lost 30, if I lost 10, anything helps. My grandma used to always say it's like the old lady that peed in the ocean. Forgive me. My grandma used to say this. Every bit helps. So any little bit of weight that I lose, that'll help me. And that'll help you. And as silly as it is, I can't wait to go to Threads and to put on an outfit and look nice. And hopefully, even if it's some crazy college student avant-garde sort of look, I'm going to strut that thing with pride because I'm trying to maintain a more healthy weight.
Well, and I think this is where we have spent the last 20 minutes talking about and making the case for the why we're needing and refocusing on losing the weight, me maintaining and staying in check, you losing weight to get closer to your 50 within 50 by 50. But I guess then the question is for you, for everyone out there in listener land, how are you going to do it? And so for everybody listening, check in with us and tell us, what are your keys and what do you do to lose and maintain a healthy weight? You can reach us on our email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. Just let us know, what tips do you have for people that have worked for you or you as an expert to help lose weight? And so then I will ask you, Jennifer, how are you going to make that happen?
I have downloaded an app I'm using, and I don't feel uncomfortable. I'm not being paid. I'm not being a spokesperson, but I have downloaded the Noom app onto my phone, and it's really just, it seems so silly because, as I mentioned, I have been a part of weight loss programs and really good communities for a number of years, but I let little things slide where you're just not as diligent or strict as I once was. So I signed up for Noom, and it's more calorie-based that looks at fat and healthy choices, and so much that Dan and I were eating tacos because Taco Tuesday is his favorite. And I looked at the calories on my Noom app, and if I didn't have cheese or sour cream, two small things to leave off my tacos, I stayed within my calories and my fat. And just to see the numbers, it really, forgive the pun, it added up. Just to not do that, small sacrifice, I was in where I needed to be. And so those small modifications, that's what I'm going to do. And hopefully it will stick. And I know that this is, much like multiple sclerosis, a lifelong journey. I'm going to deal with weight issues forever. And I don't think that you ever just, like, if I got those 50 pounds gone, I don't think that that's going to solve my weight loss issues or my weight management. That it's a number. I want to feel good. Not to say that I don't feel good now, but I think losing 50 pounds or losing any amount of weight is going to make it things better. So I think joining Noom has focused me, it's given me a goal, and that's what I'm doing. And I would love to commiserate with others or to hear what other people are going through or what's their strategy or their frustration. I have rediscovered pudding is a really yummy, chocolatey delight. I don't need super high fat to satisfy me. I just need that little bit of sweet. And I'm drinking more water, which I'm struggling with because water is super good and very healthy. But I have multiple sclerosis and the challenges of a bladder, a neurogenic bladder. But I want to focus and not use that as an excuse not to get as much water to help me with this weight loss. So that was a very long-winded answer, but I am trying Noom and I'm giving it a shot. And hopefully it'll work. And if it does, then I'm going to just scream and celebrate because, you know, you have to name a goal. And I would just like to be thinner when I do threads in April. I would like to weigh less when I'm being transferred for an airplane to Washington, D.C. in March. So that's how I'm going to do it. And I don't know about you, Dan. Are you coming along with me?
I'm taking inspiration from you. I think that there's just so much when I feel like there's some levels of codependence. And it's just like if I'm doing something, you'll follow me. And if you're doing something, I will follow you. And so I'm truly taking inspiration. And then maybe there's a guilt feeling where I'm not going to sit there and keep eating in front of you. I mean, and I know that you're fine with that, but then there's always this whole like, well, should I be? And it's just like, fair is fair. And I think that, yes, we are two different people, but at the same time, we're on this. And I think that it's when you're in something together, it's like you have then that companionship and that leader, that mentor, that model to follow. See right there. I have that model to follow. Really, speaking of threads, but I think that's where the big thing I need to know and remember is 10 o'clock is not a bedtime snack to eat a bowl of crunch berries or Fruit Loops. You know, that's just like that. That was my thing, and so it's just making better choices, and so that's how I'm going to do it because. Again, it's the reality that I'm your caregiver and I need to be strong to do things, and gaining 10 pounds every 6 months isn't going to help me any, so I need to do better.
And our trip to Washington, D.C. is going to be a small goal. If I can lose, let's say, 5 pounds by the time I go to D.C., I will be very proud. That's a reasonable goal. And for you, Dan, if you can, if you can get down maybe 5 pounds, probably will because you're a man and I swear men lose weight quicker. Not that I'm angry, just a little bit.
Bitter.
Yeah, sure. Nice choice of words. Yep. So we'll do that and it will be good. And speaking of DC, we had the opportunity to speak to a support group from Virginia.
Like Metro DC area.
Metro DC area. And they were lovely individuals who are also living with multiple sclerosis. And I don't know what the likelihood is that we'd ever meet them in person.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be, but it reminds us, like, I'm going through this. We're doing this podcast, Dan, and we're not talking to no one. There are people out there who are living with MS, who are dealing with weight issues. There are people in Virginia who have multiple sclerosis. We're not alone. Mm-hmm. And so it can be hard when you're heavy or when you're dealing with a chronic illness and you can feel so isolated and so lonely. And that was why, you know, having that support group, when we had the opportunity to hop on a Zoom and talk to some amazing people for the first time that really shared a lot with us and let us share a lot with them, that it's not so, maybe that helps when you're going through the burden or the heaviness that is weight or multiple sclerosis.
Well, and that's something where we're not out here just saying, oh, this is what we're doing, blah, 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 Dan and Jennifer, a couple things on MS. It's really to share our perspectives, our stories, to help other people and see, okay, what you're going through, you're not alone. And there's places you can go, people you can talk to and reach out and get that connection to. Just know that you can, yeah, get through things. I think that's where we want to hear from you through our email is coupletakesonms@gmail.com. Just to let us know, or anytime you have questions or things, because, you know, talking with that group yesterday, it's like, you know, I told them yesterday, I'm like, friends for life, really, because we have that connection, and that's the beauty of the MS community. And so we talk about weight because obviously that's a big issue for anybody, whether you have MS or not, but it's like it elevates things to a level or a different level when you're living with MS, and just how does that do? And then for you, Jennifer, because you're in a wheelchair, it's not like when you go to these weight loss places and they say, oh, you need to walk more. Well, that sort of throws off any option for you. So then the key and the question is, can you lose weight? How are you losing weight when you can't walk? And you've done it before, and I have all the faith that, I know you're going to do it again. I mean, you're the one who's still, I mean, you've got everything coming together at the right time, because you for months have been standing in your standing frame, riding your leg bike, riding your arm bike. Speaking of that, we need to do that yet this afternoon.
Exactly.
But it is just maintaining that and just showing that, yes, it is possible. And so this is where I'm encouraged by you. And then hopefully everybody out there, you and listener land, can know that you can encourage yourself just because you know you're not alone and there are ways to do it.
I think you speak the truth, Dan Digman. We will do this. We will manage. And this will be something, this is a challenge that I think you and I are committed to taking on and trying to lose some. And it's not about appearance. It's about just feeling better. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue feeling our awesomeness, our awesomest, you know, if we lose some weight. And hopefully that'll help us.
Wow. Well, and we will keep you posted on our progress through the podcast, through our website and everything. But thank you again for joining us for this episode of A Couple Takes on MS podcast. We'd like to hear from you, so please share your thoughts on our podcast or questions you may have by emailing us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at @CoupleTakesOnMS or through our website, acoupletakesonms.com. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
But together we're moving forward. Take care.